We'll accept the CSU, though. Well, we are continuing our series looking at the heroes of the faith, the men and women of the Bible who had a character trait or did something that is worth copying today. And on Easter, we heard how we can actually copy Jesus as we live for others. Last week, Jory shared how we, like Esther, may be in the right place at the right time for God to use us. And this week, we are looking at Caleb. And you know I had to pick the name of my youngest son for one of our biblical heroes, right? So this encounter takes place after Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. They're getting ready to enter the promised land. And Moses, as we heard in our first reading, first sends spies into the whole land to gather some intel. And each tribe sends one of their best leaders, and Moses gives them 40 days to accomplish their mission. And now, the whole nation of Israel, for as much has happened there, as much history has turned on that place, it's not very big. It's only about as big as the state of New Jersey. So it's not like they're walking across Texas here. 40 days lets them traverse the entire range of Israel. They get to see all of the major fortified cities and get back in time to report. And among the 12 spies that are sent, Caleb is one of them, there is broad agreement that the land is good. There is broad agreement. There are some major challenges ahead of them, but there is not agreement on what they should do about those challenges. Numbers chapter 13. When they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation, they being the spies, of the Israelites in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who live in the land are strong. The towns are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there," meaning giants. "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well and able to overcome it.' Then the congregation raised up a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become booty. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt, to slavery.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the Israelites, and Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the Israelites, 'The land that we went through as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are no more than bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with them, is with us. So do not fear them.'" This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, as I have shared before, skiing is very close to the top of my list of things to do. And a few weeks ago, I shared how I chose not to do backcountry skiing due to avalanches. But after months of scouring good deals, I finally got my own equipment for regular downhill skiing. And our snowy winter has kept Loveland open long enough for me to go out and try out my new duds. And I'm not a technical skier. I'm more of a point the skis downhill and see how fast they'll go kind of skier. And so I found some skis that are longer and heavier than normal. Really good for going fast, really bad for moguls. Which is okay, because I avoid moguls like the plague. So this shouldn't matter. So this is my first time going to Loveland, and I took the new lift up the mountain, and I just decided, I don't know where I'm going, I'm just going to pick a random direction. I went left. And I'm really excited to try out these new skis and to see how fast I can go and to avoid moguls at all costs. And that's when I realized my mistake. By going left, I was faced with exactly one option for getting down the mountain. It was very steep. It was a little bit icy. And guess what it was all the way down? Moguls. No! Did I mention I don't like moguls? So looking at my only path down the mountain, several things were going through my mind. Some of them I can't repeat here. But my main thought was, I'm in over my head. Do I need to take off my skis and just walk down? Do I need to take off my skis and walk up and maybe go right this time? If I ski down this, am I going to die or just break my ankles? One of them is going to happen. I'm in over my head. Have you ever felt like you were in over your head? That's how the Jewish spies felt after scouting the cities that they were supposed to take over. And they had some reason to be afraid. Many of the cities were well-established, fortified with very thick walls of stone. And before cannons were invented, the only way, there weren't that many options for taking a fortified city. Usually, you had to surround it and starve them out, which could take months or years. The longest siege in history took 22 years to get one city. And while you are laying siege, you are completely vulnerable to attack from their allies. And so the spies knew that the Jewish people, if they were going to siege all of these cities, were going to be sitting ducks to slowly siege city after city. This is a bad plan. They were in over their heads. But two of the spies have a different take on it. Joshua and Caleb do not deny the facts. They don't pretend that those fortified cities are like, you know, the walls are suddenly made out of marshmallows. They acknowledge all of the challenges. But Caleb quieted the murmuring, fearful people and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." The challenges are still there, but we are able to overcome it. And thus begins the great debate that we can still have today. On the one hand, history favors the bold, right? But then sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. So which one's better? When you feel like you're in over your head or you're debating something bold and risky, should you choose discretion or valor? Well, I don't know. But if we look at Caleb, I think we can learn a few lessons for those times of danger or immense change in our lives. First, as I mentioned before, he did not ignore the danger. Caleb faced the facts. Yeah, those walls are really thick. Those cities are well defended. Face reality. But on the other hand, Caleb did not succumb to an overactive imagination like the 10 other spies. The other spies said that the people in the land were the descendants of Anak, meaning giants. Elsewhere, they say, "We even saw Nephilim in there." I know all of you know what Nephilim are. We actually discussed this in our men's Bible study just last time. Those were they were fallen angels, kind of like that. So they're saying not only are these people really tall, there are also fallen angels ready to destroy us, which wasn't true. But those fears had magnified it in their mind. Those fears were not real. They were contrived. When my older son, Charlie, was going from preschool to kindergarten, we had a meeting with his special education team, and we thought that Charlie needed this very particular accommodation at school, and we thought the school would resist it because it would cost them more money. And so I had this long list of arguments ready to go, armed for battle, polite battle, but armed for battle. And then we get to the fateful request. We ask for this accommodation, and then they say, "Yeah, sure. No battle needed." Sometimes the enemies of our mind are stronger than the enemies of reality. Caleb also knows that given the reality of the situation, he needs to ask for help. Ask for help from the rest of the nation. Ask for help from God. He and Joshua can't go conquer those cities themselves. And obviously I'm still standing here, so I did make it down the mountain with the moguls, and I did not take off my skis, and I didn't fall down. It was ugly, and it took forever, but I made it. But I was able to go up the next time a week later with a friend, and I got a few tips from him on the way up. One of the lifts got a few tips on how to do it, and so I sought out some smaller moguls and was able to actually do it a little bit better. And I've asked one of our college students to go up with me next season to give me some more tips to try to get a little bit better too. I'm asking for help instead of just ignoring the problem. Caleb knew how to ask for help. That's another thing we can copy from him. And finally, Caleb knew how to align himself with God's plan. There's a big difference between the plans that we make and the plans that God makes. If we're following our own heart instead of God's, that crazy plan is probably just crazy. But if we're following God's heart, sometimes God's ways are foolishness to the wise. God does things in very strange ways. Anyone ever notice that? So align yourself with God's plan and God's heart. And notice that Caleb did not know how God was going to help them. If you keep reading in the story, if you remember this story of how the Israelites overcome some of those fortified walls, well, first God makes them wait 40 years. He's like, you didn't trust me, so you're going to have to wander around, so only Caleb and Joshua will survive. But then Caleb never could have guessed. Do you remember the walls of Jericho? If Caleb would have stood up and said, hey, this is what God is going to do. God is going to have us march around Jericho 7 times and then shout out and use our trumpets, and then the walls will fall down and we will overtake them. No one would have bought it. But that's exactly what God did. Sometimes we don't know. In fact, most of the time we do not know how God is going to achieve his plans. But if we align ourselves with him and follow even seemingly God's crazy plan, we don't have to know how if we know who to follow. Sisters and brothers, sometimes we can feel like we are in over our heads. Maybe some of the seniors feel like the next phase of life is going to be a little overwhelming. In those times, I think we can learn some things from Caleb. Face the facts. But also don't let your imagination make the problem bigger than it is. Feel free to ask for help. And then align yourself with God. And don't worry if you don't know how God is going to show up. You wouldn't believe it even if he told you. So what is God calling you to do that requires you to trust him? In those places, will you, like Caleb, trust God? Or will you try to run back to Egypt in slavery? Amen.